The Star Wars galaxy is expanding way past anything we've ever seen so far. But how will it change the way we see the Force? And the year of the dark side is here. Welcome to Star Wars Uplink, your place for everything Star Wars gaming, the TV shows, and the movies. Let's jump in.
Just you reconsider playing that message for him.
So, as things heat up, we've got a lot of news around future-facing Star Wars movies now. The next Star Wars movie will take up that May 2026 mark, and it's going to be, surprise, surprise, The Mandalorian and Grogu, like we all thought it would be. So there's that side of things. Things are heating up with the discussion around the Rey movie. We've got Daisy Ridley saying she's very excited to see this next step and is ready to own the character of Rey in this new era for Star Wars. And most excitedly, for me personally, we have Dawn of the Jedi, James Mangold's Star Wars project, and we've got some fun news for this movie. And it comes in the form of an update on the behind the scenes stuff. And generally, when there's an update around Star Wars and it talks about the behind the scenes things, it ends up being bad news. But this time, nothing's getting canceled, and in fact, it's going to be great news because one of the writers of Andor, specifically the writer of the No Way Out episodes, some of the most intense TV period, and definitely Star Wars, as well, he's the co-creator of House of Cards.
Oh, wow.
So he's got some meat behind him, and he's joining the ranks as co-writer of the James Mangold Star Wars project.
Yes, please.
So what's your reaction to this? Are you more excited, less excited?
Definitely more excited.
Yeah.
He's also the writer who, he's the one that wrote the monologue, the Luthen.
Yes, the Luthen rail. I will burn myself to, or for others to see a sunrise I will never see or whatever.
Yeah.
The like most goosebump inducing monologue we've ever seen in Star Wars. And that's saying something, because there's Andor's mom.
Yeah.
Who also has a very good monologue. But I would say that the Luthen one is, it's up there.
Yeah, the Luthen one.
It's probably the best.
Probably the best. Probably taking the top spot. Man, if this is what we're bringing to this very early, I don't want to say Dawn of the Jedi, but Dawn of the Jedi.
Yeah, it's the origins. It's set like 25,000 years before the events of The Phantom Menace. It is the furthest back that we've ever seen anything in Star Wars. It predates by quite a lot the KOTOR era. And it's setting the standard for what the rest of Star Wars will be perceived to be based off of. So while there's the original intention that George Lucas had with the original trilogy and subsequently the prequel trilogy, we're going to see a much earlier viewpoint of the Jedi. And theoretically, the Sith as well. I would assume we would get some details there, because you can't have light without dark.
No.
But the origins of the Jedi are going to be explored in this movie.
It just gives me so much hope that this is going to be a really, really good, hard-hitting show, just with the depth that we've seen these writers go to in Andor. It's like, oh, if this is what we're bringing to this, I am here for it. Like, I am ready for another Andor. Like, I'm ready for another, like, very earthy, gritty, hit the ground running.
Something more, like, grounded in its portrayal of Star Wars, which I think it needs to be. It needs to be more mystical and grounded at that same point to showcase where the Jedi come from.
Yeah.
And just for added context, while a lot of people remember James Mangold for Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, more like a critically acclaimed version of something that he's done in the past would be Logan. So he does have experience in the past of delivering on an established name, Wolverine, and delivering like just a very heart-wrenching, personable, story-based exploration of that character.
Yeah, that is kind of what I think Star Wars needs, is this exploration, maybe not of a specific character, yeah. but of the Jedi as characters. Mm-hmm. You know, like, what is this institution that yeah. It becomes? What could it have been, and what did it start as? What was the seed? Yeah. Like, I think it's given me so much hope that, like, these are the people mm-hmm. we need telling this story.
Yeah. No, I think it's great. And James Mangold is really good with taking established franchises. Well, like, the problems with the Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny aren't on his doorstep because of the 10-plus year cycle of rewrites and change in leadership in terms of George Lucas and Steven Spielberg changing the amounts that they were involved in, the storyline changing, Harrison Ford wanting different things. And honestly, the biggest thing people have gripes on with the Dial of Destiny is how Indiana Jones just kind of like settled.
Mm.
And just kind of like went downhill. And that was what Harrison Ford wanted to portray is this different view of aging and an aging hero.
Mm.
So that wasn't James Mangold's thing at all.
Right. Wasn't his take.
Yeah. But going back to Star Wars, I think there's this opportunity and a need for this Star Wars project to be very focused on the spirituality, I think, yeah. that the Force has. And taking it back to that viewpoint. While we did have this more scientification of the Force with the midichlorians in the prequel trilogy, this is set so much further back. There isn't a semblance of this idea. So I think there needs to be this journey and exploration into the mysticism again.
On that note, though, it's good to know that no matter how mystical they get,
mm-hmm.
the fact that these writers are so grounded,
yes.
or that writer specifically, that he is so grounded, that we've seen in
mm-hmm.
Andor, that
yeah.
we could be having a real good time here. Mm-hmm. Like, this could be a truly good balance of just, like, the crazy, I don't know, almost fantastical side of Star Wars.
Yes.
But also being still, like, so grounded in mm-hmm. these characters and whatever obstacles they're going to be facing or whatever.
Yeah, and you need that. I think a lot of the problems that Star Wars has had more recently is the lack of grounded viewpoints.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at, I think the Mandoverse did this, it had the biggest damage or impact to Star Wars, depending on what. How you perceive that, and I love the Mandoverse era, but there is this taking away of the grounded reality that Star Wars can and should have, I think, in most cases, and has it in the animated stuff. But, like, if you look at the Mandoverse, there isn't any stakes, there isn't any impact, there isn't any, like, repercussions for actions. Things just happen, and characters are there. And then if you look at Andor, the actions that these characters have, these small little moments that people are making micro decisions, has an impact that will last the whole season,
mm-hmm.
last the next season, and impact what we see in Rogue One, and therefore the whole of the original trilogy.
Yeah.
This one simple mistake, an overreaction by Cyril Karn,
mm-hmm.
leads to the destruction of the Empire's greatest weapon. And that is super unique, and I think there needs to be this moment of a similar idea when you look at that mm. for the creation or early days of the Jedi.
Mm-hmm. Just the start of this giant snowball of mm-hmm. like what it would become and how it could be corrupted, sort of thing.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be. Ooh, they have. It's a heavy, heavy task.
It is.
But I think.
And there is no roadmap.
No. But I think they could do it. I think mm-hmm. they could really pull this one off.
Yeah. I'm very excited. Typically, casting announcements and stuff like that aren't things I get overly excited about, mostly because who knows. But considering that this writer has already done something in Star Wars that has made it to the screen,
mm-hmm.
and James Mangold has successfully made something for Lucasfilm,
mm-hmm.
which in itself seems quite a big task, and it didn't seem like there was a whole lot of controversy with him in particular around, like, the actual directing and creative differences aspect of things.
True.
This has me really excited about this movie, and it's probably the one that I'm most convinced will happen. Mm. Now, Star Wars modern day movie stuff, like, I'm still only about like 70% sure that this is going to happen, but it's better than like the 50-50 that I have with basically every other project.
Yeah, fair enough.
Except, Mandalorian Grogu, I think, is like 90%
yeah.
going to happen just yeah. because it's easy. Mm-hmm. They know what they're going to do. They have the team built up already for it. They have the story already there. They know what they're going to do. They literally just have to shoot and release mm-hmm. at this point.
Yeah.
Which is why it's getting that time slot.
Yeah. And they have, don't they have a poster for it already?
Yes.
So.
With the concept art, kind of. They have a date for it.
Yeah. It's a very safe option for them.
Yes.
They know they can do well. Which is why it's getting made. Yeah, and that's why it's being made first.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. There's a lot of stuff there that could be good. More than likely is just going to be okay.
Yeah.
It's still going to do good numbers because it's a new Star Wars project and we haven't had one in, like, by this point it'll be 7 years, I think. Yeah, 7 years. Oof. So, but in terms of more recent Star Wars stuff, we've got Bad Batch that's slowly coming to a close, and it's going to cover a lot. In the animated realm, we do have a new entry in Tales of the Empire. And I think this isn't all... I also want to say that I don't think this is going to take the place of Tales of the Jedi. I still think we are going to get Tales of the Jedi Season 2.
Yeah.
But I think they're also going to have this as an option to explore as well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So what is Tales of the Empire? If you don't know Tales of the Jedi, Tales of the Jedi are these short, like, vignette moments of characters that we know of in Star Wars. The first season was Ahsoka and Count Dooku. And they just showed moments in these characters' lives that... added things that we haven't seen before.
Yeah.
Tales of the Empire is following that same structure. It's going to be about 6 episodes, I believe. And 3 of the episodes are going to be focused on Barriss. And the other ones are going to be on Morgan Elsbeth.
Mm-hmm.
And seemingly, it looks like from this trailer, they're focusing more on the thing that I criticize them for in Tales of the Jedi.
Oh, really?
They're staying away from it in Tales of the Empire.
Ah.
Tales of the Jedi, I think the biggest problem was that was the time jumps.
Mm-hmm.
I think it really hindered the stories that they were willing to tell and could tell successfully. It just felt lacking with each of those. Like, every single time I just wanted more.
Yeah.
And it seems like these episodes from this small trailer that we have are going to be more focused on a single journey.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than, like, here is Morgan Elsbeth as a child, and here is Morgan Elsbeth as a teenager, and here's Morgan
right.
Elsbeth as a 30-year-old.
Right. It's more the vignette moment of,
yeah.
here's the
it's
moment in time.
One moment yep. told on 3 episodes.
Yes. Yes. It. Oh, there's so much about this that feels strong. Like,
mm-hmm.
whoo. Oh, my.
It's one of the best trailers that Star Wars has made.
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of want to see it like 3 more times.
Yes.
Just to be like, wow, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Barriss, this is Ahsoka's friend from
yes.
Clone Wars?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So,
oh.
Bridging the gap, I previously had thought that she was in Rebels, but no, there's just another character that looks somewhat similar to her. This is Ahsoka's friend, Jedi turned Inquisitor, fallen to the dark side, and is serving Darth Vader. So there's a lot to be had in this story because, one, this is the first time we're going to see this journey from Jedi to Inquisitor.
Mm-hmm. I'm so excited for this. Like, whew, oh man.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Inquisitors, we're getting into the meat of what they do, how they train, how they create
yes.
these Inquisitors. What?
Mm-hmm.
That sounds good. We're also getting a ex-Jedi to bad side. What?
Yes.
Like, okay, did they just like hear everything we wanted? And we're like,
I'm pretty sure this is what we were theorizing or like just, what we wanted to see.
Yeah, just the other day. Like, wasn't the last episode we were just talking about this?
I think so.
Oh my gosh.
One of the last episodes or
they heard
videos
us. They
or
heard
whatever.
Us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Bless you. Tales of the Sith? Nope. Tales of the Empire. Oh,
yes.
Sorry, we got that
one
wrong.
Which I think is even more impactful because like that was generally the idea of what we wanted to see is like this darker side of things, this darker view of Star Wars, because there's a lot of stories to be told. Clearly, they're making a TV show about it. Mm-hmm. And just seeing Morgan Elsbeth directly interact early on with Thrawn is very exciting. And I think that's going to be another example of something new in Star Wars. We're seeing a Night Sister working with the Empire in various ways.
Yes. I love that they're bringing Elsbeth back because I feel like a lot of people don't get, including myself, we didn't get the sense of how epic she is.
Yeah.
In
she had
Ahsoka.
A moment of like coolness.
Yeah.
And then that like very quickly sputtered out.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't quite feel like she had enough time to shine.
Yeah.
And now we're getting that moment of like really exploring her character.
And I love that we're getting it in animation.
Yes.
Because they do it different. They don't hold back.
Yes.
In these
Well, Dave Filoni is involved with this like he is with most animated stuff and now with Star Wars as a whole. And Dave Filoni and his team of animated stuff, they are very confident in their skills and abilities to deliver. That is not the case with live action. So I think that's where we're seeing this difference here of like this the level of experience on the animated side versus what we've seen in the live action side of things.
Mm-hmm.
Very different. And you can tell.
It just looks like we're going to get some really good action.
Mm-hmm.
Which I know that it's very... They haven't perfected action in live action.
No.
We are a little ways away. Hopefully with Acolyte, we'll be getting good action in live action. Hopefully it'll build upon that as we keep going into more live action and movies and things. But as you were saying, they don't hold back with because they're so confident in animation.
Mm-hmm.
And I really feel like that's what We're all here for a little more punch here and there, you know, like gives a little pizzazz.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's just an opportunity for different stories to be told and animated. There are more things that they can do more quickly on a smaller budget that they can do in animation. There are different stories and character moments because of the length of time typically animated shows have versus the new live action stuff where the average season is 8 episodes with the standout of Andor being 12. So there's these different experiences that they can have in animation, and I wish that there was more of this like fluidity between animated and live action, like showcasing what works in terms of story structure into the live action stuff. I feel like it's very much like, oh, can we do this? We might be able to do that in live action versus in animated. They're like, yeah, we can do this. We know the story structure. We know how this is going to work. We know what animated Star Wars looks like. We know the rhythms that has. And they can just do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like they made that structure, and that's just why they're so comfortable in it.
Yeah. Yeah, this is what, like, closing in probably on 20 years into this style, and this new realm of, like, Disney live-action Star Wars is 6 years old, something like that. It's not very old. It's not very well trodden. They're still experimenting with a lot of things. They've got younger, less seasoned directors, and if you look at like Dave Filoni, who isn't, he's very well seasoned in the animated side of things, going all the way back to like Avatar Last Airbender, but in live action the first thing he directed was as part of Mandalorian, and the first thing he wrote for live action was Ahsoka. And you can tell.
Yeah.
You can tell when it's a first-time writer and director.
Yeah. Going back to Tales of the Empire, though,
the
only thing that I'm worried about is 3 episodes going to be enough?
No.
It's not.
I can tell you right now. It's not enough. 8 episodes is enough in live action. 6 total shorts where they range from like 3 to like 6 or 8 minutes. Like, they aren't very long.
No.
I think a total run's like 25 minutes or something like that.
It's just enough to make you want more.
Exactly. Which, they're shorter episodes. they can do more stuff like that. I hope that this opens the door. I hope that people really latch on to it very well and we get to see more stuff like this. Mm-hmm.
I also hope that this stuff, especially with the Morgan Elsbeth and Thrawn being involved mm-hmm. in that, I hope that gives more credence to maybe Ahsoka.
Yeah.
And hopefully that, I don't want other shows to be helping other shows, but I feel like I'm okay with it helping Ahsoka out a little bit.
Ahsoka needs some help.
It's a little nudge, a little like,
yeah,
okay, you're valid. You know, like I just needed a little pat on the back to be like,
yep, okay, these characters
you have potential,
cool.
And yeah. I think we'll stick around with you. You know,
mm-hmm. Ahsoka needs some help with actually fleshing out its story in general,
especially its bad guys.
Yes,
Thrawn needs some help.
Yes,
Thrawn needs some validation of like, no,
especially
you actually
compared
are scary.
To what we know him as,
yeah,
yeah. There's a lot of stuff there. Let us know your thoughts in terms of the James Mangold Project, the Dawn of the Jedi, what that can explore, as well as your thoughts on Tales of the Empire. Let us know in the comments below if you're watching this on YouTube, or contact at uplinkpodcast.com if you're listening to this wherever you find podcasts. As always, thank you so much for listening, and may the Force be with you.